Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime, on the internet, in your browser at WFPR.FM. And in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial, yeah, that thing with the knobs or the buttons, 102.9. Here today, virtually, with a town council candidate, Caroline Griffith. Caroline, thank you for doing this.
Steve, thank you so much for doing this. I know this is a lot of time and effort on your part, but it's so important to let the candidates have a chance to talk to the town and for them to hear from the candidates. So I'm really grateful that you do this for us.
No, thank you. I do think it is absolutely important for people to cast an informed vote. And they're only going to know that if they've heard from you. And clearly they can connect with you and will encourage connecting with you. However, for follow-up questions, et cetera. But we've also, and as you're aware, and the folks will be aware, we've tried to standardize kind of at least the questions. So all the council candidates are getting similar questions, school committee candidates, et cetera, getting similar questions. So granted, your story is going to vary from everybody else's, your experience is going to vary, but at least people will have something of a comparison to be able to make that informed vote. That's our intention. So
absolutely. Thanks. I think that's perfect.
Thank you for doing this. It's important on your side, as we've talked in other places and even before recording. Yeah, I appreciate you and every other stepping up to do your role, assuming you win, because it's still a volunteer position and I volunteer as well. I have said from the beginning, I would never run. I will never run. I appreciate what you do and how you do it, but that's just not me. I'd much prefer to do this and help share the info, which, you know, realistically, the town, that's one of their opportunities. So, yeah, we'll leave it
at
that.
And we need you in this role because no one else could do it the way you do it. And it's so important, as you said.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So let's start. People are saying, well, who's Caroline? What's she doing? So tell us your Franklin story briefly about either your road to Franklin or life within Franklin and your involvement in the community. And then we'll kind of segue from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am not a native New Englander. I am originally from Virginia, but we moved to Franklin in January of 2019. So it's been almost 7 years, which interestingly is very nearly the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my life. The longest I've lived anywhere is 7 years. So Franklin is very quickly about to become the place I've lived the longest
A
anywhere.
record setter, yes.
Exactly, which is wonderful. And it's exactly what we were hoping for when we moved here. As a child, I moved around a lot following my dad's job. In fact, I never attended the same school building for more than a year and a half until I hit eighth grade, until I finished eighth grade and had been in the same building for all of seventh and all of eighth.
Wow.
And that was not what I wanted for my children. When we moved here in 2019, my twins were 3 years old and they had already lived, Massachusetts was the fourth state that they had lived in that time. So again, we were following my husband's job. When we got married, he was finishing his doctorate in Georgia. That's where my twins were born. And then he did a postdoc in Maryland, got his first industry job. He works in biotech in New Jersey. And then we moved up here. And this was kind of always, Massachusetts was sort of always our expected goal, knowing that with him in the biotech industry, that if we could end up in Massachusetts, we could stay here forever.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And never have to leave unless we chose to. And so when we moved here, when we were looking at places to go, we kind of had three priorities, which were convenience to get into Cambridge, where he and I both worked. So being able to get there, but more importantly, affordability, because we were a young family and thankfully it was 2019 and not afterwards, because the housing prices were a lot more reasonable back then.
Just a wee bit of a difference.
Oh yes. And then the schools, because again, we had 2 3-year-olds and they were going to be going into the public school system shortly thereafter in kindergarten. And so we wanted to make sure that we were going to get them into really academically superior school systems with great opportunities. And so we looked at 11 different towns when we moved up here. And of course, we found Franklin, which hit all three of those key priorities. And then for me, as someone who in a former life was a library administrator, and I have a master's degree in education, so as an educator, and then as a self-proclaimed history nerd, Franklin really appealed to me on some of those other levels as well, just the legacy of this town and what it has stood for over the years. So we found it, we bought our house, and it immediately became for me the hometown that I never had before, and the place where I could, establish roots and raise my family and see my children, kind of going through their entire childhoods here. It was a place where we could get involved. So we've been, between my husband and myself, he's on the school committee, so he has volunteered
So you're a few
as,
nights away.
yeah, exactly. But he's volunteered as, an elected official in town. We've done a lot of volunteering in the schools, on sports teams. I've recently been volunteering with the Franklin Food Pantry, which is just an incredible organization. And we're so deeply tied into our neighborhoods and our communities. And it's been everything that I wanted for myself, growing up and never had. And I love that this is where we get to be for, the foreseeable future. We have no intention of leaving, at least until retirement, and raising our kids here and getting them to seeing them grow up in a place where they have these deep roots in just a really incredible town. So this is running for town council is kind of another way for me to give back to this town that has given me so much in the last 7 years.
Well said.
Thank you.
So one of the key pieces, and I know you spend some time on the social channels, et cetera, but civil discourse is a key component of our democratic republic form of government. And unfortunately, the political party divide is wider now than ever. So as an individual, what can and would you do to help, either avoid or bridge that divide?
Yeah, this is such an important question. And it's something that, as I announced my run for town council, is one of the things that I made a big part of my platform as well, is kind of that emphasis on town unity. I agree that in the current political climate, there does seem to be this ever-increasing divide and this growing undercurrent of feeling that if someone disagrees with you, then they're not just your opponent, but now they're also your enemy. And then if they're my enemy, then they're out to, destroy everything that I hold precious. And these what used to be political disagreements have now become this like sense of it really is, me versus them or us versus them. And I have felt candidly, I am an independent. I have voted for Democrats, Republicans, and independents at every level of government since I've been eligible to vote when I turned 18. And so I think I have a slightly different perspective in, not being tied to one political side or the other. But I think if we take a step back from that political argument, I think it's really obvious that we all have more in common than we have irreconcilable differences. And so I, for me, focusing on that is key, right? As residents of Franklin and as Americans and as, humans in general, we are so much more similar than we are dissimilar. We all have, concerns about, about finances and about our homes and about our families and wanting the best for these things. And even if we have different ideas of, how to get there, it's important that we focus on the similarities and see how to come together as opposed to being pulled apart. You mentioned social media, so I think that's really important to talk about because I think social media is very much a double-edged sword. It is a really good way to communicate, especially for mass communication, to answer questions and get information out there. But it's also, it can be a pitfall for, getting into these really heated debates. And even on local community Facebook pages, it can be easy to forget that the person that you're talking to, the person on the other side of that conversation, is your neighbor. And it's a real person with feelings that are as valid as yours, and whose, hopes and fears are as deeply felt and deeply held as your own. And I think anyone who spends any time on social media can find it easy to get pulled into that rhetoric. And I mean, I know I have too. And one of the things that I have done is, when I find that I'm in a conversation that's getting too heated, I will send a personal message to that person, and just a direct message, and say, "Hey, listen, we need to maybe tone it down. I'm sorry for, the thing that I've said here, that maybe, that wasn't as kind as it should have been. I want to clear the air here. We're neighbors, and we want to make sure that, we're able to, have that relationship where if we run into each other at the grocery store, we're not angry over something silly that we said on Facebook, but able to, embrace each other as neighbors." And I have found that the more I have done that, the better I'm able to really build relationships with people that
Yes.
maybe I wouldn't have otherwise.
Right.
And I've discovered that people who may not agree with me on a lot of things, or who may think, "Oh, I have a different political stance than them," or whatever, we're able to have these really civil conversations. And even if we're not, best friends, because we haven't even met in person, but we're able to have friendly conversations. And I think in general, that's what we need more of, is people who are willing to say, "Hey, maybe step away from the argumentativeness of social media and have those personal conversations." That being said, we do have, a handful of elected officials and town leaders who are on Facebook or social media, who are, willing to kind of wade into the fray there to share information and answer questions. And I have so much respect for them. I think we need more of that. They're a small number of our town leadership that do that. And what they're willing to do when they do that is they kind of take on an extra layer of accountability for themselves, right? Because they are subjecting themselves to greater scrutiny, for decisions that they are making, or that their board or committee or council is making. They're willing to be more transparent and more accountable, for the decisions that are being made by a group and not just themselves. And they're opening themselves up to, possibly critical comments, and they're giving up, even more of their volunteer time to do that. So, I think it's really incredibly important that our elected officials or our town leadership are willing to have those conversations, whether it's on social media, or they're going to, the political conversations at the senior center, or meeting with people at the farmers market. But just to be willing to have those conversations, and to avoid that, the uncivil conversations that do get, that are do become a problem, especially in the age of social media.
Thank you for that. One solution I would have, and it's not really a practical solution given the way things are today, but I would turn social media apps off on the phone and let the phone go back to be phone and texting, to foster that individual conversation, especially when it's a local thing, because we're all Franklinites. We're all here, and it's our problem to solve, and we have to figure out how to solve it. But yeah, that's enough pontification on my part. We're trying to get from your candidate's point of view and other candidates. So specifically, what experience or background will help you serve in this particular role? Or another way to phrase it, What do you bring to the table that helps set you apart from the others potentially competing for this role?
So I have kind of an interesting both educational and professional background. I studied both political science and business in my undergrad. So I, have a good understanding of how government works, but my degree ended up being in business, and so I am very business minded, and I can understand both the similarities and the differences in, how government works and how there are things that you have to have that kind of business mindset there. But at the same time, running a town is not the same as running, an organization. And so you have to also make sure that you understand the differences there as well. And then my master's is in education, which was very much a focus on like adult learning and training, as well as business development. So I have kind of that also unique perspective on, again, on the business side, but also in having conversations with people and making things understandable to adults. It's not classroom learning, it's having conversations and explaining and teaching things to adults who learn differently. And I think that's another thing that this town needs is people who are willing to explain and kind of bring the community into the conversation more and make sure that they are being brought along with the decisions that are being made and they understand what's happening and where things are going. So, I have that in my educational background. And then and professionally, I have worked in both nonprofit, private, and public sectors. So, I have kind of that also unique perspective in how, the differences of those things and also, which pieces are important for the running of local government. And that's kind of my educational and professional background. At the same time, I have lived, as I kind of mentioned, have lived all over. And so I have also a unique perspective in being able to say, I have seen things work in this kind of area, but what works over here might not work everywhere. So I'm able to, recognize the that there are many different solutions and that finding the one that works best is for, this town and whatever the situation is, how important that is. As well as because I've had a chance to live so many places, I'm really comfortable with and appreciative of diversity of thought and experience. And I recognize that having people who think differently, even if their views are opposing mine, is that's a benefit, not a problem. And I love to see that people with different viewpoints can come together and find a solution. It's kind of that, iron sharpens iron, right? Like I don't want to be on a council of nine people who think exactly like me because then we're not necessarily going to find the best solution. You want people who think differently, who have different experiences and perspectives, who can say, well, this is what I think. Someone else can say, oh, well, I've seen this work, and where things get tailored to finding the best solution. So I've got that in my personal experience as well, and I think that's really an asset for a position where you have to make decisions for the betterment of a lot of people with, diverse thoughts and experience in situations.
Good. Thank you for that. And for the town council specifically, one of the key responsibilities, I think, as you're aware, the council is to hire and provide oversight for the town administrator and his or her team. For example, while you can serve as an escalation point for the town, this does not necessarily include micromanaging a particular department or operation. Do you agree or disagree? And thereby, elaborate on that a little bit.
I absolutely agree. This I don't think it is either feasible or appropriate for the town councilors to be the the managers of all these different departments. They are not the experts, right? It is the people who lead and work in those departments who are the experts on their roles. And those departments then kind of funnel up through the town administrator's office. And that is where the town council should be having more of an influence, making sure that the decisions that are made by the town administrator are following the path that we want Franklin to be on, right? That all of those things are coming together to make sure that Franklin is continuously growing and improving to be the place that we want it to be. The town council should, I think, they should be willing to learn and understand the different strengths and opportunities, and also, possible concerns of the different departments, so that they can take that higher level view of things and say, okay, what are we doing well? What might be happening in the next year or 5 years that we need to, keep an eye on? And then helping to make sure that all of those pieces come together to, again, continue guiding Franklin in the right direction. And the town council absolutely should be kind of that escalation point, right? They should be willing to be that liaison between the town. And I think that's it's really important for the town council to remember that they are elected by the residents to help guide the town to where everyone in Franklin wants it to be, and wants we all want it to be a thriving, vibrant, successful town. And so the town council needs to be willing to, have those conversations, that two-way communication, I think, between the residents, willing to hear their concerns and make sure that the town is responding appropriately. And also, as I said earlier, to bring the community along with those decisions that are being made, and to share, this is what's happening, this is why it's happening, wanting to, keep everyone fully informed. And so making sure to be kind of that liaison between the residents and the town administration, to make sure that everyone knows what's happening and why it's happening, and to get as many people on board as possible to make sure that we are going in the direction that the town wants to be going in.
Yeah, that's good. I think it'll pick up or set you up for kind of the next question, which I apologize, is really kind of three questions in one, but it's the way it worked out. So if after reading the three, if as you start answering, if you want to get refreshed on the second or third point, feel free to do so. The town council, as you're aware, approves the annual budget, which sets the priorities for how Franklin operates. Faced with the fiscal challenges projected for the next several years, what are the financial priorities you think we need to address? Part two, how do you explain what needs to be done to the voters and residents? And three, what would you do to help the community understand the separation of roles between the council and the school committee?
Well, I don't think there's anyone in town who'd be surprised to hear that we are in a tricky financial situation right now. We have, as a town, we have been asked twice over the last, year and a half to consider a tax override to provide more revenue to the town, as the town's expenses are growing at a faster rate than our revenue is. And twice the town has voted that down. I in having watched these conversations, these budgetary conversations that have been happening over the last few years, I can understand the immense pressure and stress that the town leadership is feeling in watching these expenses grow and grow, surpassing the 2.5% rate that our revenue is growing. And I understand why a tax override would be the simplest and most straightforward solution for that. But at the same time, the town has said now twice, no, we're not willing to do that. And while I can see an override conversation happening again in the future. I think it's really important at this point that the town kind of set that aside, that set that idea aside and say, okay, well, what can we do in the meantime? Until, we need to stop planning and thinking as if the residents are going to hand over more tax dollars to fill this gap and stop expecting that to be just around the corner and say, okay, what can we do in the meantime? And I think it's going to involve some creative solution finding. I think thinking outside the box, maybe finding new ways of bringing in revenue for the town. I know, for example, the on the school side, they've talked about turning the former Kennedy Elementary. Right now, it's part of ECDC as well, but turning the unused part of that building into a daycare to bring in, more revenue, which I think is an incredible idea. And that's the kind of thinking that we need to have. We need to think of creative solutions to bring in more money. We need to be willing to prioritize and reprioritize what is, what our current and future expenses are. For example, this is something that I have mentioned on my Facebook page before that I know that the town has as a priority a new police station. And so because of that, they are, spending some money right now to kind of investigate options for a new police station, the land, the, layout. In conversations I've had, I'm not seeing that the town has been convinced that that is an immediate need yet. I would say that, hearing from town leadership, they would disagree. But I think that this is kind of another example of communication. I think that the town, if they believe that this is a critical need, it is their job to convince the town, the residents of the town, of why this is so important and has to be done, in the very near future. But until that's happened, I think that spending the money that we are spending on it right now, not knowing whether the town will vote on a debt exclusion for the police station, I think that's a little premature. So I would say that's another instance of kind of maybe reprioritizing the where we spend our money in the, in the meantime until we have a town that is convinced that they're willing to spend their money on a new police station, or until the town is convinced that voting for an override will, they'll be putting their money where it needs to go, and that that money will be then, used. That the town will be good stewards of that money. So I think that's the other thing is that, that I think the residents have kind of said like we're not ready to trust that the town leadership is going to do the right thing with more tax dollars. And I think everyone in town wants to make sure that Franklin is successful and has what it needs. But I think there's a lot of trust that needs to be built there or rebuilt before they're willing to voluntarily hand over more money. As far as the financial situation right now, that's what we need is we need the town to go, okay, we have heard you. You're not willing to vote on an override yet. So how can we respond, appropriately to make sure that we are still able to meet, the required expenses that the town has, as well as making sure that this town is still a place where people love to be because it's meeting those needs as well. And so, creative solutions, reprioritizing, and really listening to the residents and their feedback. I think those are, that's where the focus needs to be in the, in the moment and for the foreseeable future. I'm trying to remember what the rest of the questions were. So the second part of that question was what, Steve?
Well, the second part, I think you've kind of covered that as well in terms of what needs to be done. The third piece was kind of the separation between council and school committee.
Yes. Oh, the second part of the question was how do you communicate that? Right. So
Right.
yes, so lots of conversations. Thank you. Yes. So the third part about the difference between town council and school committee and making sure that that is clear. So the town council, they set the budgets for, they'll allocate this much money goes to the schools, the rest is for the municipal. And then that's kind of that dividing point between the town council and the school committee. That's where they overlap, really, is just that the town council hears the budget requests from the school committee as well as from the municipal departments, and then they vote on the amount of the budget that goes to these different departments. And then as the town council serves as, that kind of advisory and oversight committee for the town, the school committee does that for the school systems, and the town no longer has kind of that say in what happens over there in the schools. That falls under the school committee purview, just as the school committee is not weighing in on what, DPW or, any other municipal departments are doing. And so I think it's important that the two committees have, have the same goal in mind, right? Which is a successful Franklin that is meeting the needs of all of its people. But otherwise they don't have a whole lot of overlap. They are, they do similar roles for one's for the schools and one's for the municipal side.
Right. Yep. Thank you for that. So one of the things that has happened recently was the 2025 master plan was approved. Do you support the goals and recommendations of the master plan? And if so, what would you do as a town councilor to help implement them? Or if not, why not?
I'm glad you asked this question. I love the master plan, actually. And I feel like in conversations that I've been having with residents and with other candidates for office, I feel like I've been one of the few people who keeps coming back to the master plan for some of the questions that have been asked recently. So, for example, you hear a lot of questions about 444 East Central Street. We've been getting that a lot. For me, I keep going back to the master plan and saying, okay, the master plan was an 18-month project between town leadership and residents, the whole town coming together. There were dozens of public conversations and a handful of public presentations on where things are, as well as it happening in the subcommittee. And I think it's actually just a really incredible, unifying document from leadership and residents to come together and say, this is what we want our town to be. This is where, we think we should be setting our priorities. This is where we want to see Franklin, going and growing in the coming years. I'm not sure. So again, back to the example of 444 East Central Street, I'm not seeing the town leadership necessarily following that master plan in all the decisions that they're making. So I think that a document like that has been, very, very carefully constructed with the input of the residents over a long period of time, that should be kind of our guiding light, and decisions that are being made should come back to that and reflect the priorities that we've heard from the town that we should be focusing on. So, for example, there's the master plan talks about for housing, wanting to focus on different price points and different types of housing to meet the needs and desires of Franklin residents kind of wherever they are. There's the idea of mixed use housing and, having it be, commercial on the bottom, apartments on top, or an emphasis on owner occupied, one or two home building or family buildings in certain areas. And so at times when the when the town is, you know, approving or considering approving large rental apartment developments, you kind of say, okay, well, I'm not sure I understand how that fits in with this master plan that you all have approved and worked on so hard that says these should be one and two family homes over here. This should be, you know, mixed use space. You know, large rental apartment developments don't fit that. So I would like to see the town council and town leadership in general really use the master plan as that, you know, that kind of guiding light for the decisions that they're making to make sure that, you know, the town has kind of already weighed in on where we want Franklin to be going and what our priorities should be. And so we've already had those conversations with the town residents. We know what they want, what they've asked for, and we've written it into this really comprehensive document. And so that's what we should be referring back to as, you know, decisions are being made, as, you know, residents are saying, well, you're not listening. We should be referring back to that and saying, okay, yeah, you're right. We have said this is the zoning for this area and this is what that includes. The town has kind of already signed off on that. We need to be making sure that that's what we're focusing on. So that's, you know, a specific example, but in general, I think the master plan is a really well thought out, well established document that says, okay, for the next 10 years or so, this is where we need to be aiming. This is what we need to be focusing on. And it's kind of gotten that stamp of approval from everyone in the town. And so we need to make sure that that's what we're, you know, kind of referring back to as we make those decisions.
Okay, thank you for that. And that covers kind of the, if you will, the six standard questions for the council. We've covered a variety of topics, but I'll also give you the opportunity to, if there's a topic that you want to weigh in on or say something else, certainly in terms of kind of a closing statement for the residents and voters, now's the time.
You know, as far as a closing statement, I just you know, I kind of set up my platform as one of transparency, accountability, and unity. And we've talked about all three of those things in this conversation, Steve. And so you know, hopefully the Franklinites who are listening and watching this can, you know, feel how passionate I am about those things. I think the town leadership needs to be something that really is accountable to the residents for the decisions that they're making, and they're willing to, you know, bring the residents along for those conversations and make sure that they are, you know, involving them. You know, of course, not every person can vote on every single decision that's being made, but having clear communication, two-way dialogue between the town and the residents is so critical. And then, you know, as we talked, you know, quite a bit about earlier, just keeping in mind that we're all neighbors, right? We're all Franklinites. We all love this town. We all want the best for our families that are here, for ourselves, for our homes. We want this to be a place where the town meets the needs and we love living here. And that should be what we focus on, not difference in political opinion. I mean, I don't think that partisan politics has a place in local you know, governance anyway, because what's happening, you know, on the national political stage, that doesn't necessarily affect the day-to-day of what's happening here in Franklin. And so I think setting that aside and just recognizing that we are all neighbors who want the best for each other and for our families and for ourselves, it's really important. And the last little plug I'll make is that I have a Facebook page that's Caroline Griffith for Franklin Town Council. So I actually, every time I get a question from a resident or from someone on Facebook, I answer it, you know, where I get the question, and then I put a little mini essay or something on that Facebook page so that people can refer back to it. Even if they've missed that conversation that happened on one of the pages, they can go to that page to see, okay, what is it that I believe in? What is it that I feel strongly about? So I just encourage anyone, if they're interested, to go check that out. And at any point, if you want to reach out to me, I know our phone numbers and email addresses have been published on the candidate ballots, and I'm really happy to have those conversations, because I think it's really important to make sure that people feel heard and that they get their questions answered. I mean, it is b voting in our local elections is really important. I hope that we have really big turnout. I'm excited that this is a competitive race, that at least two of these races are competitive, and I'm really excited to see that people feel more engaged and, willing to ask the questions, and hopefully they'll get the answers and they'll be excited to vote in November.
Yes, thank you. And thanks for taking time. We will include in the show notes as well as a screen at the end of this with your email, phone number, and we can include in your Facebook page, maybe not in the video, but certainly in the show notes. So thank you again for taking time to do this. Best of luck as you go forward in your campaign. To the residents and voters listening, thank you for doing so. Hope you be able to get informed with this and the others that are in queue and coming, and be ready to vote on or before November 4th. And a quick reminder as well, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors. Good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.